humbling experience, at least for myself. I wonder if it was for our next guest, who is smarter and maybe not taken by surprise, or maybe thinks I am overreacting. It's Dan Shulman. What am I supposed to make of those?
No, I don't think you're that far off. I mean, again, perspective is important, and I'm definitely older, maybe a little wiser. I don't know about that.
Definitely. There's no doubt.
Well, but I should set the bar higher than that, is what you're saying. So
yes, 100%. Don't drag yourself down here. This is the mud.
Okay. So if it were May, 100%, it's two games. Shake it off. But it's July 20, I don't know what it is, 22nd, 3rd, 3rd,
yep,
something
22nd,
like that.
You got it.
22nd, and the trade deadline is in 8 days. So everything does take on larger importance now, obviously. You know what? What happened the last two games doesn't make me think any differently about either team, to be honest with you. What it does is change the standings. Instead of them being 2.5 out of the wild card and 6 out of first, they're 4.5 out of the wild card and 8 out of first. And that's not great. Like, it's still okay. It's still enough. Like, if today were July 30th, I'd say, okay, I still think they're a buyer. But they haven't helped themselves over the last 72 hours, and they got to help themselves. The more they help themselves, the more the front office will help them. That's, you know, that's the way it goes in baseball. And it's just that they didn't hit Pivetta as well as they did last time. They didn't hit Richards as well as they did last time. Like, we talk about the scary Red Sox lineup, and it is really good, but it also was supposed to be a scary Blue Jays lineup, maybe even better. I think even better. Than the Red Sox lineup. It's just in these 2 days, the Red Sox played that.
Yeah, that was the frustrating part, is that the Red Sox weren't rolling out their best pitchers. Mm-hmm. And that, okay, there was a push in last night's game, and there were some opportunities in the one before that, but yet there were far too many times, and again, I know that this is looking at it through a biased lens, but there were far too many times where the Blue Jays didn't feel threatening. And I didn't love that. Considering that those are those pitchers and these were those moments. And I don't know, do you put anything into the idea of statement games? Because it feels very narrative driven. And again, it's a data and analytics sport. But when the Red Sox come out and thump you in that fashion and then get to Robbie Ray in that way, it's hard not to connect that line.
I don't know that I do as much. So remember the series at Fenway, whenever it was in May, and the Blue Jays won one of the games like 100-2 or whatever
hammered.
It was,
I think
right?
It was 13-4 or something like that.
More than that. I think it was 18 or 19, but I can't remember. Like, they hammered them. They basically ended Ryan Weber's career in that game. If I'm not mistaken, they split the 4-game series.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, so I do think there is a little bit of, we remember what we want to remember, or we see things through the lens. We like to see things through it, and that sort of a thing. So I'm not a huge believer in statement games in baseball. I think more in other sports. I think in hockey and basketball, I think I would be a little bit more of a believer. I'm just a believer right now in, regardless of how good they are or how good we think they are, it's about getting wins right now. Like, it's about the standings, and you know, you can think you're as good as you want to be, but you got to go out and get the wins. And we all know they let a few get away with the bullpen earlier, that they, you know, quote unquote, should have a better record than they do, but they've got to pile some up in the next week. They got to go out and at least take 2 out of 3 from the Mets, and then they got to do some damage against the Red Sox. Like, they can't go lose 3 out of 4 at Fenway. They're really going to make it a difficult conversation, I think, inside the walls of the front office if they do.
Yeah, it was 18-4. It was a slaughtering. And I'm with you. This is what makes it even more difficult, though, if I'm the Blue Jays front office watching those games, is I'm saying, okay, we just went 0-2 here, and we were red hot. Our bats were hot. We had Robbie Ray on the bump, and we didn't split those two games. Okay, cool. We bumped one back to when we're in Toronto. That's all right. We still have that to make up later. But you gotta, like, yeah, you have to look at those next four games and say they are of serious consequence now for wild card and for, like, you lose, you split those, I think the division is done. You got to win 3 or 4, like you said, and are you going to take 3 or 4 wins from the Red Sox? And there's basically two discussions here. One is, do you try and make your move ahead of that series? Do you try to be first to market, or do you be a little bit more prudent and wait to see how they play out? I've kind of been in this one place the entire time, which is the Jays should be working on moves of control already. that should be the plan. That if you can add a starting pitcher, like I remember Berrios' name has been out there for forever now. If you can get in on a deal like that, you're doing it, you know, I never know if it's irregardless or regardless. You know, you tell me. You're the one who should know.
I don't know.
But one of those two things, those two words you should already be using when it comes to that. My thing has just been, I gotta believe if you win these games against the Red Sox or you put yourself in a more competitive spot, that you actually do pursue the relief market with more aggression. Where do you land on this? Like the theory of these games actually changing your plans in any meaningful way?
Right. So it's not, the goal is not just catch the Red Sox. That's the ultimate goal. That's the best goal. But if they catch the Rays, they're in the playoffs. If they catch the A's, they're in a, I think they're in a playoff position at this point. So, you know, there are also some teams who will say, well, I think we got a great chance at the division, so I'm pushing all my chips into the center of the table. Mm-hmm. But if it's only one wild card spot, maybe I'm not, because do I want to risk giving up great prospect A and pretty good prospect B for a one-game playoff? And I get that thinking. So that's another part of this as well. But the one thing I don't know that I think they should get is a starting pitcher without control. I like the idea of a starting pitcher with control, like Berríos, even though control only means one more year. But if you're going to go out and get José Berríos, like, you're not getting him for guys we've never heard of. You're getting him for guys where it's going to be a bit of a gut punch for people who follow prospects. Now, the one thing the Blue Jays have is oodles of right-hand hitting infielders, who all, a lot of them appear to be really, really good. How many of those guys do you need? And it was funny, I looked at the draft a couple of days ago. They didn't draft, I don't think they drafted one shortstop. Yeah, and usually they draft like nine. You know, they didn't draft any this year.
Everybody in the draft, I thought, was a pitcher or a shortstop. Like, that was it. Like, that's all you have.
The Blue Jays drafted like 15 pitchers and a couple of outfielders and a third baseman and a catcher, whatever it was. So they know they have a, obviously, they know they have a surplus in one area. So that makes it a little bit easier to deal from that area if you have a surplus. But if the decision, like, what if it comes down to Martin or Groshans? Like, what if one of those guys is going to be in the deal? If either one of those guys is in the deal, there are going to be people howling saying, not that guy, don't trade that guy. And but you got to give up something to get something. So if you're going to get a good starting pitcher with control, you're going to have to pay pretty good to get it. And I maybe they will, maybe they won't. I don't know. I don't know if they're going to do that. Regardless, or irregardless of what they do, you can go out and get a rental reliever right now without giving up anybody that's going to, you know, cause any distress to people. And now the Rockies back, that's great. There's, you know, some encouraging Pearson news. That's great. But it's, I don't see the harm in going out and getting one more, really. I mean, you can't have enough of these guys, and you don't know who might get hurt, and you don't know who might not pitch as well as they're pitching now. So I could see them, you know, making one move soon, maybe getting that rental reliever to shore up the bullpen, and, and then kind of gauging how the next 6-7 days go before deciding if they make a large move. But that's just a guess.
Yeah, no, hey, we're all guessing here, and I actually think that one of the most entertaining conversations you can have is the guessing, right? Like, post-deadline, when everything's set and removing these things, is like, oh, okay, well, that stinks. Now what? Yeah. All right, do you call somebody up? I like the conversations like this, but...
Let me throw something at you. Like, yesterday, we might have talked about, do you think Alejandro Kirk is going to be in a trade?
Oh, yeah.
And today, I don't think he can be, because if Danny Jansen goes on the IL, and they pulled Kirk out of the game immediately in Trenton or wherever they were, and... You know, we all, I think we got to assume that Kirk's going to be on the roster tomorrow, assuming Jansen goes on the IL. And so I don't, and I'm not saying they would have traded him before, but I think it was a possibility that he could have been included, but I don't know that they can do that right now because I think they need him.
No, you're absolutely correct. And God, this sounds bad to say, but I really think that this guy should just be on the roster. That, if you look at the numbers at the beginning of the year, again, the theme, I guess, is sample size. It's small, but every sample that he has at the major leagues and every sample he has as a player is that he hits. And when I watched that game last night, you know what the Blue Jays could have really used? Another bat in there. And I know Jansen gets hurt because he's, you know, smokes a double and he's got more defensive value. But it was always a stretch for me to say, you're really not going to risk Reese McGuire when you can bring up Alejandro Kirk and his bat. And if we are saying about different things and plans, and of course some guys can emerge, and do I think Reese McGuire is a major league catcher? He's probably, like, seems like he seems to be that, but you were willing to lose him at the beginning of the year so that you could play Kirk, and now the games are more meaningful. You should probably be willing to move off of him for Kirk, especially if the logic of these relief pitchers or these additions that you've already made was, we're trying to improve incrementally. Every little piece of improvement that we can get, we're going to explore. And to me, Kirk is clearly your best option as a bat when it comes to that position. So bring him up. I got to believe that barring some other trade where you can bring in a veteran, or there's somebody that I can't remember the guy from Pittsburgh's name, but everyone always loves throwing his name into the mix. But
Jacob Stallings.
That's it, right? Arden's Wellings guy. Arden's like, every day I talk to him, he's always like, and this guy Stallings, I'm like, okay, Arden, cool. Like, he's your guy. I guess Arden's just like racking up the Pittsburgh games. He's like watching this guy's baseball reference page every single day. But yeah, I think you have to keep Kirk. And I actually believe that this is the last time we will not see him part of the catching rotation, barring injury.
Yeah, I think there's a decent chance of that. A couple of things. So you are, in my opinion, you are going to lose something defensively when he's in there behind either McGuire. Both McGuire and Jansen are better defensively than Kirk, in my opinion. Now, if he hits enough to overcome that, great.
Yeah.
The second thing is, will his body hold up and can he stay healthy? Because there's obviously, you know, that is obviously a concern that I'm sure they have within the organization and around the industry. If people are talking about him, like, what's he going to look like in 4 or 5 years? So, you know, we saw Vladdy go home for a winter and come back a new guy. And, you know, who knows if Alejandro Kirk it has that ability in him. But he does have the ability.
He already has lost some, though, right? Like, didn't he do that this past offseason?
I think he lost a little, yes. I believe he lost a little.
Not Vladdy,
I don't know exactly.
But some. Like, it was a point of emphasis for him.
Yes, and he does have the ability to smoke a line drive, as you said, and as we all know. So the quote-unquote, the easy decision is now, assuming if unfortunately they have to put Jansen on the IL, the easy decision is you bring up Kirk and you let Kirk and McGuire figure it out. Maybe this guy plays 2 out of 3, maybe that guy plays 2 out of 3, and you see how the bat plays for Kirk. But I don't think they would bring in another catcher because I think they've got bigger needs than that, although I think a nice veteran backup catcher type guy would have been great for this team this year, but they have so many catchers on the 40-man roster, and they're trying to sort out who's part of the future and who's not. So, yeah, I think Kirk is coming, and he'll probably hit ninth most days. He'll hit eighth maybe when Espinal is in the lineup, and, you know, that's a nice bat to have down at the bottom of the lineup. But I still think if this team is ultimately going to be really good and make it into October and have some success, it's going to be more about the pitching than the hitting, because you are going to have days. Yeah, you're going to have days against a good pitcher where I don't care if you put, you know, 9 Hank Aarons in there. It's going to be a tough day if the other team's guy is at the top of his game. And I still think the fact that they are heavily right-handed does impact them a little bit. I know right now people are saying, but the numbers say no, and I understand that. But I still think it would be nice to have a little bit more variety in that lineup. On any given day, they've got 8 right-handed batters for the most part. Maybe Corey Dickerson helps there when he gets healthy. You know, Dickerson's a guy we don't talk about very much. But I think at the end of the day, they've got to go out and get pitching. And Ross Atkins said it, if they don't think that the value is there to make a trade for pitching, if the ask is too much, if you can't strengthen your team in an area of weakness, you can still strengthen it in an area of strength. And unless my memory is playing tricks on me, 1993, second year of the World Series, Pat Gillick wanted to go out and get pitching, and I think was trying to get Randy Johnson. Couldn't get him. Got Ricky Henderson. You know, let's pivot. Let's get Ricky Henderson, the greatest leadoff hitter in baseball history. And Ricky Henderson came over and spent a couple of months and was their leadoff man late in the season and through the playoffs. So I think they're going to do something. There is nothing in the last 2 years that suggests this front office is not going to do anything. They already have. They've gotten 2 relievers, you know, in between the signings of Ryu and Springer and Simeon and the 5 trades last year. I think we've all got pretty good evidence that they are going to do something in the next week.